The Ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross. Book 1, Chapter 7, wherein is shown how the desires torment the soul. This is proved likewise by comparison and quotations. The second kind of positive evil which the desires cause the soul is in their tormenting and afflicting of it, after the manner of one who is in torment, through being bound with cords, from which he has no relief until he be freed. And of these David says, Funes peccatorum circumplexi sunt me. The cords of my sins, which are my desires, have constrained me round about. And even as one that lies naked upon thorns and briars is tormented and afflicted, even so is the soul tormented and afflicted when it rests upon its desires, for they take hold upon it, and distress it, and cause it pain, even as do thorns. Of these, David says likewise, Circum dederunt me sicut apes, et exacerunt sicut ignis in spinis, which signifies, they compassed me about like bees, wounding me with their stings, and they were enkindled against me like fire among thorns. For in the desires, which are the thorns, increases the fire of anguish and torment. And even as the husbandman, coveting the harvest for which he hopes, afflicts and torments the ox in the plough, even so does concupiscence afflict a soul that is subject to its desire to attain that for which it longs. This can be clearly seen in that desire which Delilah had to know from where Samson derived his strength that was so great. For the Scripture says that it fatigued and tormented her so much that it caused her to swoon almost to the point of death. And she said, Defecit anima eius, et ad mortem usque lassata est. The more intense is the desire, the greater is the torment which it causes the soul, so that the torment increases with the desire. And the greater are the desires which possess the soul, the greater are its torments. For in such a soul is fulfilled, even in this life, that which is said in the Apocalypse concerning Babylon, in these words, Quantum glorificavit se, et in deliciis fuit, tantum date illi tormentum et luctum. That is, as much as she has wished to exalt and fulfill her desires, so much give ye to her torment and anguish. And even as one that falls into the hands of his enemies is tormented and afflicted, even so is the soul tormented and afflicted that is led away by its desires. Of this there is a figure in the book of Judges, wherein it may be read that the strong man, Samson, who at one time was strong and free and a judge of Israel, fell into the power of his enemies, and they took his strength from him, and put out his eyes, and bound him in a mill to grind corn, wherein they tormented and afflicted him greatly. And thus it happens to the soul, in which these, its enemies, the desires, live and rule. For the first thing they do is to weaken the soul and blind it, as we shall say below, and then they afflict and torment it, binding it to the mill of concupiscence, and the bonds with which it is bound are its own desires. Wherefore God, having compassion on these that with such great labor and at such cost to themselves, go about endeavoring to satisfy the hunger and thirst of their desire in the creatures, says to them through Isaiah, Omnescientes, venite ad aquas, et qui non habetis argentum, properate, imite, el comedite. Venite, emite absque argento vinum et lac, quare appenditis argentum non in panibus, et laborem vestrum non in saturate. he were to say, All ye that have thirst, of desire, come to the waters, and all ye that have no silver, of your own will and desires, make haste, buy from me and eat, come and buy from me wine and milk, that is, spiritual sweetness and peace, without silver, of your own will, and without giving me any labor, in exchange for it, as ye give for your own desires. Wherefore do ye give silver, of your will, for that which is not bread, namely, that of the divine spirit, and set the labor, of your desires, upon that which cannot satisfy you? Come, hearkening to me, and ye shall eat the good that ye desire, and your soul shall delight itself in fatness. This attaining to fatness is a going forth from all pleasures of the creatures, for the creatures torment, but the Spirit of God refreshes. And thus he calls us through St. Matthew, saying, Venite ad me omnes, qui laboratus, et onerati estis, et ego reficiam vos, et venietis requiem animabus vestris. As though he were to say, All ye that go about tormented, afflicted, and burdened with the burden of your cares and desires, go forth from them, come to me, and I will refresh you, and ye shall find for your souls rest, the rest which your desires take from you, wherefore they are a heavy burden. For David says of them, Sicut onus grave gravatoe sunt super me. Chapter 8. Wherein is shown how the desires darken and blind the soul. The third evil that the desires cause in the soul is that they blind and darken it. Even as vapors darken the air and allow not the bright sun to shine, or as a mirror that is clouded over cannot receive within itself a clear image, or as water defiled by mud reflects not the visage of one that looks therein, even so the soul that is clouded by the desires is darkened in the understanding, and allows neither the sun of natural reason, nor that of the supernatural wisdom of God, to shine upon it and illumine it clearly. And thus David, speaking to this purpose, says, Comprehenderunt me iniquitates meae, et non potui, et ut viderem. Which signifies, Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, and I could have no power to see. And at this same time, when the soul is darkened in the understanding, it is benumbed also in the will, and the memory becomes dull and disordered in its due operation. For as these faculties, in their operations, depend upon the understanding, it is clear that when the understanding is impeded, they will become disordered and troubled. And thus David says, Anima mea turbata est valde, that is, my soul is sorely troubled, which is as much as to say, disordered in its faculties. For, as we say, the understanding has no more capacity for receiving enlightenment from the wisdom of God than has the air, when it is dark, for receiving enlightenment from the sun. Neither has the will any power to embrace God within itself in pure love, even as the mirror that is clouded with vapor has no power to reflect clearly within itself any visage, and even less power has the memory, which is clouded by the darkness of desire, to take clearly upon itself the form of the image of God. Just as the muddled water cannot show forth clearly the visage of one that looks at himself therein. Desire blinds and darkens the soul. For desire as such is blind, since of itself it has no understanding in itself, the reason being to it always, as it were, a child leading a blind man. And hence it comes to pass that, whensoever the soul is guided by its desire, it becomes blind. For this is as if one that sees were guided by one that sees not, which is, as it were, for both to be blind. And that which follows from this is that which our Lord says through St. Matthew. Si cecas ceco ducatum prostet, ambo in foveam cadunt. If the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit. Of little use are its eyes to a moth, since desire for the beauty of the light dazzles it and leads it into the flame. And even so, we may say that one who feeds upon desire is like a fish that is dazzled, upon which the light acts rather as darkness, preventing it from seeing the snares which the fishermen are preparing for it. This is very well expressed by David himself, where he says of such persons, Supercessidit ignis, et non viderunt solem, which signifies, there came upon them the fire, which burns with its heat and dazzles with its light. And it is this that desire does to the soul, enkindling its concupiscence and dazzling its understanding, so that it cannot see the light. For the cause of its being thus dazzled is that when another light of a different kind is set before the eye, the visual faculty is attracted by that which is interposed, so that it sees not the other. And as the desire is set so near to the soul as to be within the soul itself, the soul meets the first light and is attracted by it, and thus it is unable to see the light of clear understanding. Neither will see it until the dazzling power of desire is taken away from it. For this reason, one must greatly lament the ignorance of certain men who burden themselves with extraordinary penances and with many other voluntary practices, and think that this practice or that will suffice to bring them to the union of divine wisdom. But such will not be the case if they endeavor not diligently to mortify their desires. If they were careful to bestow half of that labor on this, they would profit more in a month than they profit by all the other practices in many years. For just as it is necessary to till the earth if it is to bear fruit, and unless it be tilled, it bears nothing but weeds, just so is mortification of the desires necessary if the soul is to profit. Without this mortification, I make bold to say, the soul no more achieves progress on the road to perfection and to the knowledge of God of itself, however many efforts it may make, than the seed grows when it is cast upon untilled ground. Wherefore, the darkness and rudeness of the soul will not be taken from it until the desires be quenched. For these desires are like cataracts or like motes in the eye, which obstruct the sight until they be taken away. And thus David, realizing how blind are these souls, and how completely impeded from beholding the light of truth, and how wroth God is with them, speaks to them, saying, Prius quam intelligerunt spinae vestrae rhamnum, sicut viventes, sic in ira absorbir eos. And this is as though he had said, Before your thorns, that is, your desires, harden and grow, changing from tender thorns into a thick hedge, and shutting out the sight of God, even as in oft times the living find their thread of life broken in the midst of its course, even so will God swallow them up in his wrath. For the desires that are living in the soul, so that it cannot understand him, will be swallowed up by God by means of chastisement and correction, either in this life or the next, and this will come to pass through purgation. And he says that he will swallow them up in wrath, because that which is suffered in the mortification of the desires is punishment for the ruin which they have wrought in the soul. Oh, if men but knew how great is the blessing of divine light, whereof they are deprived by this blindness, which proceeds from their affections and desires, and into what great hurts and evils these make them to fall, day after day, so long as they mortify them not. For a man must not rely upon a clear understanding, or upon gifts that he has received from God, and think that he may indulge his affection or desire, and will not be blinded and darkened, and fall gradually into a worse estate. For who would have said that a man so perfect in wisdom and the gifts of God as was Solomon would have been reduced to such blindness and torpor of the will as to make altars to so many idols, and to worship them himself when he was old? Yet no more was needed to bring him to this than the affection which he had for women, and his neglect to deny the desires and delights of his heart. For he himself says concerning himself, in Ecclesiastes, that he denied not his heart that which it demanded of him. And this man was capable of being so completely led away by his desires, that although it is true that at the beginning he was cautious, nevertheless, because he denied them not, they gradually blinded and darkened his understanding, so that in the end they succeeded in quenching that great light of wisdom which God had given him. And therefore, in his old age, he forsook God. And if unmortified desires could do so much in this man who knew so well the distance that lies between good and evil, what will they not be capable of accomplishing by working upon our ignorance? For we, as God said to the prophet Jonah concerning the Ninevites, cannot discern between our right hand and our left. At every step we hold evil to be good and good evil, and this arises from our nature. What then will come to pass if our natural darkness is added If to our natural darkness is added the hindrance of desire? Nothing but that which Isaiah describes thus: Palpavimus sicut caeci parietem, et quasi absque oculis atraetavimus, impedimus meridiae, quasi in tenebris. The prophet is speaking with those who love to follow these, their desires. It is as if he had said, "We have groped for the wall as though we were blind, and we have been groping as though we had no eyes, and our blindness has attained to such a point that we have stumbled at midday as though it were in the darkness." For he that is blinded by desire has this property, that when he is set in the midst of truth and of that which is good for him, he can no more see them than if he were in darkness. End of chapter 8.